Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I'm your host today as we experience NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we invite guests who like to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I am always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set, so let us know if there are any topics you'd like covered or any guests that we should reach out to for future episodes. And if you haven't already done so, make sure that you are subscribed to and or following NIMSY Insights on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, now called X, all of those platforms. We have a little bit of different flavors of content that we put out across the platform, so make sure you're following us on all of them to stay up to date on the latest and greatest in localization. So, without further ado, I'm going to get right into our guest today and our topic. Our topic today, surprise, surprise, is artificial intelligence. It's reshaping the language services industry. But for smaller LSPs, evolution doesn't simply mean adopting every new tool. It means making smart choices about where technology creates value, where people remain essential, and how to compete without losing what makes your company distinctive. Today, we'll explore how LSPs can adapt, innovate, and build a sustainable path forward in the age of AI. Our guest today is Sean Hopwood, president and founder of Day Translations.
Sean, yes, thank you.
Welcome, Sean.
Yes, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Sean, you're the president and founder of Day Translations. You're a polyglot entrepreneur and lifelong language enthusiast. You founded the company in 2007. You grew it from a single office in Florida into an international language services provider. You're bringing firsthand experience navigating technological change where building a business around quality, service, and human connection really matter. What did I miss in my introduction? Did I get everything? You're a polyglot. How many languages?
Oh, that's my favorite. Well, seven languages.
Wow. At what point do you become a hyper polyglot? Because I was corrected one time.
I would say,
I think seven's pushing it. I think you might be a hyper polyglot.
Maybe nine. Yeah. I don't even know if anyone can really speak that many languages like perfectly. You know, you get to the point where you're just like, you can have general conversations, you know, and then when you focus on one language, the other one kind of starts to take the back seat to the languages you're learning. So
it's kind of true. I've only ever attempted to learn like two or three. So but I can tell, like, the more German I learn, the more French I lose.
I'm studying Chinese and I'm losing the German right now, actually. So that definitely happens. And, you know, there's not a lot of Germans where I live. So it's not a lot of places, people I can practice with.
Well, it's another story. So you love languages. You're a polyglot. You're still learning languages. So I guess I don't need to ask you why you ended up in the language services industry. But tell me a little bit about the journey. Day Translations. Who are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you going?
Well, thank you. It's a very interesting journey. I started learning and translating when I was little. I lived in a neighborhood with a large amount of Hispanic population, and I learned Spanish from them. And I started translating for them when I was like 8 years old, you know. And then when I got to high school, people were, you know, coming to me, and as a person who knew a lot of languages, you know, I was learning French, I was learning a little bit of Thai, I was learning these languages in high school. So I was always like, something that always fulfilled me and made me feel special and important was the fact that I could speak languages and I could make people feel special and I could bring people together. So I was really happy about that. And so, you know, I always knew I wanted to start a business when I was in the college and undergraduate, when I did my master's degree, I always knew. So I grew up in Florida. I grew up in a small town, but even in Florida, there's a diverse group of people. There's a lot of people from all around the world here. And, you know, I had a chance to make friends with people from just everywhere. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, Algeria. I had friends from Sudan. I have a lot of friends from Jamaica. I have friends from Colombia. I have friends from Argentina, you know. So I made friends from all around the world. It felt like just the perfect storm. Everything always came together for me in my life to where I ended up starting a translation company. It was something that really, really, that I love doing. So I started the translation company in 2007. And, you know, I know that as a smaller language service provider, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I never worked for a company like one of these bigger corporations, you know. I never worked for one of them. So I was just doing things the way I thought that I should do them. You know, I just using my own common sense. And as I can talk more about it if you would like, but as we've grown, I've had to implement a lot of processes.
Well, and that actually takes me to my very next question, because I can hear it in the way that you talk. You got into this industry for the same reason a lot of us got into this industry, which is a love of language. But it goes deeper than that, because language represents culture, represents people. Definitely. Right? So a love of language is more about a love of connecting people. And I can hear that talking to you. And, definitely. You know, sometimes those warm and fuzzy people don't make the best cold-hearted business people, right? So it's always interesting when someone starts a business. And now, where I kind of want to ask you, moving into this age of technology and AI, well, we've been moving into it for a long time, but how do you retain that people-centered culture and attitude towards the work that you do in an age that's demanding increasing automation and efficiency?
It's very interesting. You know, it's very interesting. It's a challenge to demand this. My whole life I've been working with languages. I would sit down in the beginning when we started our company, I would sit down and talk to someone back and forth about one page, like this, you know, love letter that she wanted to write, you know, to her boyfriend in a different language. You know, I would sit there and we spent weeks translating this ancient Ottoman language that there was barely anyone left who speak it. And now, you know, I also have to scale the business at the same time while keeping that passion and desire to make these, you know, these small clients happy, but scaling it, you know, we're translating for large hospitals. We're translating for law firms. We're doing localization projects for video gaming companies and stuff like that, you know? And I find that it has helped us in a lot of ways, because we are one of the larger companies. And a lot of these companies are coming to us for the medium-sized projects. You know, they're like, well, this other company, they weren't giving us the attention that we deserve. They weren't giving us the attention that we need. You know, they're making all these mistakes. And I'm like, I'm the CEO. I'm willing to talk to you. I'm willing to talk to you about it. You know, I'm willing to, and they hear, you know, they hear how passionate I am about languages. And we just, you know, we just landed this really big client because of that exact reason. They, you know, and so in, but talking about AI, because I know you specifically wanted to talk about that. There are a lot of tools out there.
No, but before you go into AI, sorry, I'm just, you're talking my language here, right? Because like, it's good to hear that there are still niches out there for traditional work to be done.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's good to know that that's still out there.
Yes, it is. It seems booming, actually. I mean, there's, I've listen to some of your other podcasts, of course, with the CEO of Boost Lingo. He's a great guy. I know him, and the other ones that have the automation of the dubbing. I watched that podcast as well. And yeah, people, automation is great, you know, and we do that to a certain extent, but I mean, it definitely exists. I mean, it actually exists more. Some people, I mean, you hear the term, like people talk about AI slop, and you know, people are getting a little bit tired of it in a way, you know. A lot of people really want that human touch and that human expression and someone who's going to actually take the time to talk to them and put thought into the work that they do. And that's something that we do. And we've positioned ourselves as more of like a medium-sized company that can do that. Of course, I want to grow like everyone else does. But I mean, we've positioned ourselves as a company that is able to handle a lot of those medium-sized projects. We can handle large projects too, but you know, I like it. And it makes me happy, because one of my goals is not just to, you know, get a lot of clients, but also to make sure all the employees are happy, make sure people feel fulfilled in the work that they do. You know, I mean, I was speaking to one of our, someone who was applying, I was interviewing someone the other day, and she was surprised. She said, I told her, if a client is talking about her house got hit by a storm or hurricane or her dog died or something like that, ask the client about it. Say, oh, I'm so sorry that your dog died. Is there something that, you know, is something I can do for you? And she was surprised that I actually wanted her to do that. She said, my past job told me to just focus on, you know, getting the client to confirm. And I said, well, I think that will build relationships and they'll confirm later. But yeah, so yeah, a lot of people are surprised about the human approach that we take, but it has worked well. With, I mean, we've been in business for 20 years.
Yeah,
so it's been working.
Can't argue with the results. And relationships, I mean, if you have a business or a business plan that's based upon relationships, I'd say that's kind of AI proof, right? Because that's definitely one, relationships are definitely one of the things that's going to be automated last, I would say. But regardless, like, there is this pressure for an efficiency gain. I've got a statistic here, and it says the in 2026, as reported in the NIMSI 100, in 2026, it shows that the average revenue per employee among the 100 largest providers was roughly about like $239,000, and in 2024, and then in 2025, it jumped to $415,000. So we're seeing like a 75% increase in productivity. A lot of caveats, right? If you measure productivity as revenue and treat employees like cogs in the machine, right? Yep. But the data is clear, is that productivity per project manager is going up. And I think it's clear, I don't need to cite statistics to say that the same thing's happening for linguists as well, is the productivity and or potential productivity or expected productivity is going up. How do you handle that in a situation where you still want to maintain what makes your work special or unique or different?
Yeah, well, everyone has to be special in this competitive world. I mean, you just said the top 100 LSPs. I mean, and there's probably thousands of them. I mean,
it's right. So it's a little apples and oranges, right?
It's a competitive world. You know, in order to keep that uniqueness, you have to do that. You have to have something unique about you. I mean, even now, you can make a website with AI, and you can just quickly, probably people can just quickly put up a company and have a translation company, or they can have a marketing company, they can do an SEO company. There's a lot of things, but I think, I mean, also you have the search engines, and you have the AI engines like, you know, ChatGPT and, you know, Grok and these other search engines. They're actually, and specifically Google, they're penalizing too much AI because it's kind of ruining their model. They're ruining their model. If anyone can just rank on Google or rank on these things, it kind of ruins their model. So they have to protect themselves. So they're actually rewarding people who actually take the time to write content or, you know, show authoritativeness on their website. As you see, I mean, I don't know if I should mention other companies, but I've noticed a lot of companies, they're doing like podcasts like what I'm doing, or they're doing authoritative interviews, they're doing case studies. So like, that's what we're doing as well. We're doing more detailed case studies. We're showing our authority. And the fact, I mean, we've been in business for 20 years, you can't replace that as well. So, I mean, the search engines as well as the large language models are actually rewarding more humanness while they're not human themselves, which is very interesting.
You know,
artificial intelligence rewards humanness in a lot of ways. So
for now,
when it comes to search engine and stuff like that.
For the time being, they're playing nice for the time being.
Yes. Right. Yeah, definitely.
So, but you are using technology, automation, AI for certain processes and not for others. How do you, as an owner, because you kind of get to, as the founder, CEO of a company, you get to set the tech strategy. Yes. How do you guide your team on where to automate and where not? What is the guiding principle there?
It's a pretty specific. So if it's something like some religious text or something like that, or if it's something like a novel, of course, we're going to use human translation. Okay. And then if it's something like a video game, which has everyone knows. If it's a video game with multiple screens and repeated text, we would use MTPE. You know, we would use machine translation on that. And if it's someone, like we have certain thresholds. We've actually instructed our employees about this. So if it's something like a large project, and you notice the client doesn't have a really large budget, and it's a lot of text that they're really don't have the budget to pay for this, we would use AIPE, so, you know, post-edited AI translation. And so that would be the cheapest route for them to go, and we would translate. So yeah, that's how we do it. So more human things, more creative things that take a lot of creative energy, we would just do a human translation. For technological things, we would use MTPE. And for the clients with a little bit less of a budget, we would use AI. And so, that's how we do it.
And this is, I just have to point out, because I take every opportunity to point this out, is that the doomsayers, I believe, may be exaggerating, saying the AI is going to replace everything. We've had this conversation before. We had it 10, 20, however many years ago with machine translation, right? It's the same conversation. We're just using different different nouns, right?
Yeah.
And what I've been seeing is, yes, there, you know, some work's going away because it's being replaced by AI. But what net is the size of the pie is getting bigger, right? Yeah. Because what's happening is it has become much more cost efficient to translate stuff that previously just didn't, there was no ROI on it. So it either stayed in English or got minimal viable translation. And now people can actually spread the same budget or even less budget and get better results. This whole less is more, which I've been hearing for decades, you know, just 20 years, we need to do less with more. Or no, more with less. We need to do more with less, right? Which it kind of creates this paradox, because in our research here at NIMSI Insights, we know that there are a lot of translators that are leaving the field and, you know, taking day jobs or, you know, going out and changing careers. We know that there's a hesitation for people to enter the field as a translator, and I can't really blame that. But simultaneously, paradoxically, at the same time, 27% of companies reported that they were struggling to find translators to take jobs, right?
Yeah.
What's up with that? Is day translations ranked number one on best Glassdoor as the best place to work? Like, how do you get translators to take your projects?
Oh, yeah. And I think we might be ranking number one on Glassdoor.
I read that somewhere. Yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, yeah, we definitely want to attract the best linguists. It is interesting how people have that doom and gloom mentality. And like, I actually try not to spend too much time on LinkedIn because there's a lot of people talking about it. I listened to another one of your podcasts where they were talking about the linguists and how they're like the starting point of the, you know, where the complaints are coming from. And I understand that because I was a translator myself.
You are. You know?
Yeah. But you have to always adapt. And I also want to say that I kind of go by what I see in front of me. You know, people say that on LinkedIn that AI is, you know, making the rates lower and all these different things. But as you said, the pie is bigger. People are globalizing more. People are doing more translation. I mean, if you're going to start, you know, if you're making a video game, it's going to be a lot easier to translate. And when you were speaking to that guy from Pakistan earlier, he was saying that people are not even globalizing Pakistan. They're not even, you know, they're not focusing on China. They're not focusing on Pakistan and localizing all their apps. I mean, that's a huge thing. So I mean, and even on your reports, I believe that the industry is growing. The pie is going to be so much bigger. There's so much more localizing to be done. Just the way you do it is going to change a little bit. Obviously, you're going to have those people who want to do humans. You're going to have those regulated industries. You have the Language for All Act, which requires, you know, translations to be done by humans and minimize the machine translations.
Ooh, what is this? This is something I'm not aware of.
Language for All Act. Yeah, Language for All Act. It was proposed, I believe, I don't know all the details, July of this year.
All right.
And it's an act where it protects the linguists. It protects the translators where it's for government specific projects.
Got it. Very cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So, I mean, there's just so many opportunities, you know, and if you are actually a language lover, my belief, if you are an expert in languages, then you're fine. You can be the person that you can advise them. You can translate for them. You can actually, you know, localize for them. Like if you're an Arabic translator and you can sit down with a client and you can say, yes, the client says, I have some visitors coming from Algeria. You know, you would say, okay, well, we're not going to translate that into Jordanian Arabic. We're not going to translate that into modern, you know, definitely maybe not modern standard Arabic or Saudi Arabic, or, you know, we're going to specifically localize this for an Algerian audience. When you have that level of expertise and you actually have passion for languages and you can portray that to a client, I think that that's going to make them very happy, because it's not just about AI in the translation field. It's you have medical transcribers who feel like AI is, you know, a threat to them. You have lawyers who feel like AI is going to be able to draft contracts for them. You have, you know, actors who feel like AI is going to replace them. So they all have that certain level of pushback in the back of their mind. They have that pushback where, hey, I want this to be done by a human. I want to speak to someone, you know, I want to have that human experience. So it's not something that's just unique to our field. It's something that everyone is experiencing. And if we can just all, you know, adapt together and, you know, show our human side, I think it'll be fine.
Man, I wish you and I have been in business for about the same amount of time in this industry. Yes. I wish I shared your infectious optimism. We need to hang out more. Maybe I'll be a more positive person. But no, yeah, but I joke. I half joke, yeah, right? Because I do. I am more optimistic. Why? Because I'm not old enough to be cynical yet. Yeah. Like, I think if I was 2 years out from retirement, I'd be like, this AI, I don't need to do it. And it's like, nah, I got to figure this out.
Just keep offering new services, you know, do stuff. We do medical staffing. We do BPO services. We have, you know, we do phone interpreting. We do AI translation. We do AI interpreting. We do all that. We're prepared. We even have our own large language model that we've created. It'll be done in like 2 weeks, you know, that's based, this focus on translation. So,
And that's it. It's the flexibility. It's mm-hmm. the middle letter in LSP. It's language service provider, right?
Yes.
And I think now more than ever, it's super important to remind ourselves as LSP. I'm not an LSP, but I used to work at LSP. It's super important for LSPs to remind themselves that at their heart, they're not a translation company. They're a service provider. Right. Definitely. They're a service provider that specialized in translation, interpretation, language, whatever it is. But a lot of those same skills that you can take to provide excellent translation services to a client, you can provide other services to that client as well. And it just opens up a whole new window or a whole new area of opportunity.
Yes. And that optimism really helps. And we try to hire optimistic people who are, you know, have that same mentality, and it helps a lot.
So hiring people, what would you say? This is a question, it's a standard question I like to ask people. You hire people and train people and all that stuff. And people that are coming into the industry now, either someone that's looking for a job or maybe has a job and is just wondering where to upskill, where they should focus on to help their career, or perhaps students that are looking at graduating with a degree or maybe just starting their college career and wondering what fields they should major in. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have to these people who are very much, they love the idea, they love the localization industry, they want to get in here and do stuff and connect cultures across the world? What advice would you have for those people?
I would say that keep going. It's a great industry to be in. It's I've been doing it for 20 years, and I think it's going to be here for a long time after that. I mean, just keep going. I mean, I speak to people, especially in these places where they still offer degrees in translation, like in Argentina, they have a bachelor's degrees in translation and interpretation and certified translation. I believe they also offer it in Costa Rica and Mexico. They were offering it Monterrey in California and a couple other places in the United States. But I would say it's just really important. If you're just honest about it, it's one of the most booming industries in the world.
Yeah.
It is translation. I mean, if you watch a movie, it's going to be subtitled into all these different languages on Netflix. If you're at a hospital, if you live in the United States, it's a very diverse population, you're going to need interpreters. It's just the way you do it. The idea of translation is probably one of the biggest industries in the world. It's just the way you do it. It's the method you do it. If you're using AI, if you're using machine translation, the way you do it. So if you're getting into the translation field, you're getting into one of the most prosperous fields in the world. I mean, I think, I mean, if you, I mean, people have what called a $70 billion industry, $80 billion industry or something like that.
Roundabout.
I mean, what other industry is an $80 billion industry in this world? Like the NFL is a $4 billion industry.
And it's an industry that puts it into perspective, right?
Yeah.
But it's an industry, I call it sometimes like a shadow industry, because like no one knows it exists. And frankly, if someone knows about the translation company, something went wrong. Right? That's because something went wrong. And it's like, who did this?
Yes.
But everything needs translated out there. And it's, you know, one thing, I stole this line, as I will steal many more from my business partner, Renato, is he says, this is an industry of expansion. And in the good times, we translate contracts. And in the bad times, we translate lawsuits. So, okay. I mean, even during a recession, people are going to need those bankruptcy papers translated. You know, kind of joke, but it's true. This is an industry that's recession proof to a large extent.
Definitely.
And that was an amazing answer. I love how you put that. A follow up question. If you're counseling someone on who does want to get into the industry and you're encouraging them to, where should they focus their time? Where should they study? Should people, and let me rephrase this question. Should people learn languages still?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, I know the answer. You're learning Chinese.
You know
right
what
now.
I'm going to say. Yeah. You're talking, you know who you're talking to.
But it sets up a good soundbite. Go.
Yes, they should. People should definitely learn languages still. I mean, I specifically speak 7 languages. I'm going to learn Japanese later this year or start it next year. I even have my book right here, Japanese.
Wow. So, I like how you schedule in learning a new language, as I would schedule in like going to the, taking my cat to the vet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Later this year.
Definitely. I mean, it just makes me happy. It's languages, words to me are almost like food. You know, like I sometimes I'd rather go hungry than go without words. I'm kind of crazy like that. I love languages so much. It's something that if you want to learn languages, you should. I mean, Duolingo has been out for a long time, and people are still finding ways to learn languages in different ways. And when I took Chinese, I actually went to an actual school. You know, that's the best way to learn, and I think it's good. So it's just that people get obsessed with all these other ways. I mean, you have people saying that, for example, movie theaters, people are going to stop watching movies as much. There's people who still want to watch movies. People still want to connect. Malls, a lot of malls are closing down, but the malls have evolved. There's more outdoor malls. There's more, you know, people doing, you know, people want that third space. They want somewhere to go to. People don't want to just sit there behind their computer all the time. It's not good. And then, so you do see, like with television, you've seen a lot of streaming. You've seen a lot of people watch streaming, but the actual things that are making the most money are the live events, like going to sporting events, watching sporting events, because people still need that human connection. People still, you know, want to find place to go. They'll go to a bar, they'll go to a restaurant, they'll go out. So the whole point I'm trying to make is people still want that human connection, and we have to, I mean, there's no option as a human to not be human. You don't really have that option. So, I mean, people are going to still connect. People are going to still try to find that way to connect. People are going to go take classes. People are going to want that interpreter in front of their face. They're going to want that, you know, I have clients that we have about, you know, 10 offices, and we have clients still walk into our offices talking about translations. So, you know, this is the approach we've taken, and it works.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes. People should learn languages, and people in regarding translation. If you're in an area where they have a translation degree, you should take it, because selfishly for me, I want those people to work for me.
Sure.
You know, I want people with that experience. You know, I just don't want people looking at it as like a gig job or some kind of side job. I want people looking at it as a career, because it makes my job easier.
Yeah.
If I can have someone who's going to stay with me for 10 or 20 years, you know, those people can kind of grow within my company to, you know, to be higher level of people, you know, that so selfishly, because I plan on doing it for a long time.
Totally fair enough. You talk about, you nailed something, and I alluded to it earlier. I said people that come into this industry typically A lot, this culture, this industry has a very unique culture. The local, if you look at the localization industry as a whole, however you want to define that. Why? Because a lot of the companies, the CEOs in this industry are translators. They were a translator, and 20 years later, now they have a company. And they've carried that culture of caring about people and bridging community, bridging gaps between cultures and all of that. They've carried that culture, and it really permeates throughout the entire industry. And that's one thing I love about it. And it's why like COVID was hard for us because we couldn't meet, we couldn't go to conferences. There's all sorts of conferences, the American Translators Association, LOKWorld, of course, associated with NIMSY now. Taos does conferences, Global Toolbox, Slater. I'm missing some, Gala. There's so many conferences in this industry that give us industry professionals, whether we're translators or, the evil project managers, they give us an opportunity to meet and break bread and talk to each other and share ideas. And to me, that's just huge. And this podcast, you're asking me about the podcast earlier before we went live, and this was because of COVID, because we couldn't go to conferences anymore. And I saw a need, and I was like, well, maybe we can try to do like a virtual community online. And it's cool. Like you can get that too with an online. See, we got people in chat. Speaking of community, I'm gonna stop talking here and find my button to bring that chat up. Yay. Amr says, speaking seven languages, awesome. Always remember the famous quote, the more languages you know, the more of a person you are. Awesome. Thank you, Amr. And hello, Maria. And poignant, but all right, other people who I don't know. But all right, cool. Yeah,
That's
if you're watching, you have any questions or comments, just drop them in chat. I'll try to remember to bring it up.
definitely drop in the chat. I'll answer anything you want to ask. So yeah, it's something, I really love doing. And he was saying that the more languages you speak, the more people you are, maybe the more language, the people you have
Or
inside your
the
head.
more of a person you are is the quote, I think, is what he said. Which is
I would say the more kind of like personalities you have in your head.
fair enough. Yeah, because languages, the way that languages are constructed affect the way that you think, and you might not think the same in German as you do in English, right?
Definitely.
Exactly.
It's very interesting. You it's the way you speak is it's completely different in different languages, So it's good. Yeah, it's good to learn all these languages. And you were talking about conferences. We just went, I just went to, me and my company, we went to the SOCOM conference. I live in Tampa, Florida, and this is the head of all of the communications for the military in the United States.
Okay.
And the language industry is booming when it comes to the military. I mean, the amount of government contracts that are out there for the language industry are just is more than ever. And like I said before, they have to, the contracts have to be done. It has to be done by human, according to the Languages for All Act. I might not be 100% sure about all the details of that act, but it's people can look it up.
Yeah, no, I you mentioned it. I heard about it. I'm embarrassed. I've probably written about it somewhere on Multilingual, which so I will go check that out and reach out. Do you know Bill Rivers?
I think
I don't want to
everyone,
name drop, but Bill is a lobbyist for the language services industry. He does a lot of work. So
I think
sounds to me like I need to have Bill back on the podcast to explain this all to me.
oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I mean, when I went to that conference, I think there was like 20,000, it could have been like 20,000 people at that conference. It was in the biggest convention center in Tampa,
Oh, wow.
and it was just like, I was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. And the amount of technology they talk in technology is huge. I mean, you just have to keep adapting. I'm not saying that just we just have to keep doing things the same way forever. That's not what I'm saying. And I try to adapt as much as I can. But when I went there, the main focus for that conference was drones. I mean, they're
Okay.
like, okay, we have this type of drone, we have that type of drone. This drone has an AI GPS in it that's gonna, that is going to that's going to surveil a certain area or something like that. They have water drones. They have dog drones. They even had a dog drone that had a little mouse on the back of it, a camera mouse, and the dog would bend down, and then the mouse would just come off of it, and then just it would be like turn into like a surveillance mouse, and it would just like go throughout. So I mean, maybe it's off subject, but the point is that technology is definitely important, you know, and I know you've asked in your prior podcast, the resistance of linguists, it has to stop. The linguist resistance, the way they are, they're not wanting to change the way they're doing things. Or if you say, oh, the rate's a little bit lower for this, I mean, you're going to get more work though. I mean, so those type of things, it would be good if we could all work together, you know, and not like from the translation companies who love, for me personally, who I love linguists, you know, if we can work together and you can adopt a little bit more of these technologies, you know, and work with us and get more, we can all get more work. I mean, if you're doing more, if you're doing the, using the technology and actually getting more, you're getting more words done in an hour, you can actually make more money. So, yeah. So if we can just adapt a little bit more all together, we'll be fine.
Yeah, and I like that. I don't presume that I'm going to be able to change perceptions and all of that stuff. But there's always this, like, kind of, you know, the translators can very easily feel taken advantage of when there's changes and stuff like that. And I understand that, and I have empathy for that. I really, really do, right? And so I hesitate to be like, hey, translators, you need to change now. But my approach is more like, hey, like, I want the best for you. Yeah. Like, how about you take some trainings here? You know what I'm saying? Or like change the way that you're doing. Because like, I mean, if my job, and I loved my job and I just did not want to change my job, but my job was like copying manuscripts onto papyrus. Right? Yeah. Well, I'm a little bit too late for that. Right. Yeah. They have photocopiers now. But I can find something equally fulfilling, right? And there's so much good stuff out there.
Yeah, so I can say as CEO, and on behalf of a lot of CEOs, I mean, we actually really do love the translators we work with. I mean, I've read Phil Shaw and the things he said. He really loves the translators as well. And we really do. We love what we do. We're just trying to balance out everything perfectly. So we should probably all just come together, you know, learn together, adapt technology together, and we could probably make a lot more money together. All of us.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to end. One thing I want to do, I pulled up a LinkedIn post. My producers pulled this up. So I want to go through this. We were talking about conferences. This is a LinkedIn post from LocWorld conference in Dublin from Cesara. It says, looking back at the inspiring sessions in LocWorld 55 Dublin, there are so many valuable takeaways to reflect on. In a world that is evolving rapidly with AI, every aspect of business is changing and needs to be rethought, sometimes more than once within the same year. As humans, we need to adapt our strategies, stay flexible, and remain open to embracing new technologies and the changing needs of the global audience. The idea that content is easy to manage simply because it is faster to create is a myth. AI can be incredibly convincing, but it can also hallucinate with remarkable confidence. That is why humans still play a central role, guiding AI, ensuring it is used responsibly, ethically, and with sound judgment. In this new era, powered by AI, people remain the ones who govern the processes and systems behind the technology, ensuring that global content reaches its highest potential while maintaining quality, accuracy, brand identities, and trust. Thank you, Cesara. I wanted to read this because it's one that I pulled. This captures what we've been talking about here. And this Definitely. This was the sentiment from the Localization World Conference in Dublin that I second Cesara here.
That was well said.
I think we're at that phase on the hype curve, or at that point on the hype curve with AI, where people are starting to have a sober, realistic idea of what it can do, what it can't do, what it should do, and what it shouldn't do.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. There's, you know, I've been studying it for a while, you know, even before the boom, like, you know, I used
before it was cool.
Before it was cool. But, you know, just we have to always, you know, adapt. And I think it'll be fine. And I think what she said was really well said. And you just have to adapt and you have to take control of things. We're the ones in control and it should be fine.
Well put. I think this is a great place to end. Sean, any final words before I close this out?
No, I'm just, I'm really happy to be on here. I love every opportunity to talk about language, and I I had a great time. Thank you.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much, Sean. I'll take us out here. Ladies and gentlemen, chat, we are out of time for today. If you enjoyed this NIMSY Live experience, then join us live next time by going to our LinkedIn page, going to events, and seeing what's on the calendar. I appreciate our guest today, Sean. I appreciate my colleagues here at NIMSY Insights doing all the hard work so I can have these fun conversations. And finally, I appreciate you, the audience, who are joining us live today. And I look forward to next time. Cheers.